What's up, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Worship Fuel. My name is Matt McCoy. I'm the founder of loopcommunity.com and the host of the Worship Fuel show. Today, we have a very special guest with us. We've got Aidan King, worship leader, songwriter. He's been with Hillsong, and recently he's released his own album called Beyond Us. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about songwriting. Anyways, he is such a huge blessing to the worship leader community, and I'm just really pumped to have this conversation with him. So what are we waiting for? Let's bring in Aidan King.
Looking for affordable, high-quality resources for your church? Check out the app lineup from Worship Tools. You can build sleek service presentations in Presenter, schedule volunteers to those services in Planning, access chord charts and other worship materials in Music Stand, and manage church attendee information with Community.
What's up, brother?
How you doing, Matt? Good to see you, man.
I'm so glad that you're on the show today. Thank you so much for taking the time.
I love it. Thanks for having me.
Where in the world are you right now? Are you in Nashville, or where do you live?
I live in LA. Yeah. So I moved to LA from Sydney 3 years ago. Actually, it's okay. Four. Crazy.
Wow. And how's that transition been? That's a pretty big shift, right?
Yeah, it's been a big shift. I've spent a lot of time over the last 10 years or so in America, and we used to base ourselves kind of Nashville a little bit, but mostly LA. So the transition was easy. But it's funny, the longer I've been here, the more you start to realize the differences between Australia and America. But it's been great.
That's awesome. I'm originally from San Diego, California. So I love Southern California. That is just, it's in my blood. And I've lived in Chicago now for about 15 years, and I've never gotten used to the snow.
Yeah, how is that? That is so different.
I don't think I ever will get used to it. It's a very different culture. It's cold. Yeah. But I will say Chicago in the summer is probably the best city in all of America, honestly. Like, hands down, in the summer, it's incredible. But, you know, the other 9 months of the year, it's pretty bad. So
I love Chicago. When we first started coming to America, Chicago was my favorite place to visit. Like, always. Yeah. I just love the culture, the food, the walk along the water, the river. It's just sick.
Yeah. There's no place like it. So anyways, this is not about Chicago. This is about you and your new music. So I do want to talk about your new album. We have all the tracks, all the charts at Loop Community and CCLI. So we're going to talk about that. But before we get into that, tell us just like your story. Like, how did you get started leading worship? Where did you lead worship? Give us just kind of a overview there.
Yeah, I like you said before, like, I was part of Hillsong. So grew up there, kind of started going there in my early teens, and started attending the youth group. And, you know, very quickly I was in the worship service, which was very different for me. I'd never experienced anything quite like that. I grew up not in like a Christian household. Like, I went to a Catholic school, so I knew about Jesus, but I remember walking into this service and being like kind of overwhelmed by, at the time I didn't know what it was. Now I know that it was the presence of God, but just looking around and seeing people like with so much life, and watching like just the worship kind of just like change people. Like, before, I was seeing it happen. And I remember being like, man, I want to be a part of whatever this is. I didn't play any music. There was nothing, like, I didn't know how to play an instrument. I didn't know that I could sing or even how to sing. But I just knew from a really young age that that's what I wanted to be a part of. And so I kind of kept attending that. And then towards the end of my high school years, I started to volunteer at the youth group. That was kind of out of necessity in a lot of ways. There was a lot of transition. Hillsong United was the youth band. But they were touring a lot, and there was this need kind of for young people to step up and like just volunteer and lead worship. And then that kind of turned into like, well, we need a sound and, you know, an expression of worship that best kind of represents what's happening in our youth group. And so a few of us were just like, well, I guess like we should just try to write. And that was nothing that I kind of knew that I knew I always wanted to try to do that, but I didn't know that I could. Yeah. But need for it. And so we would write, and just for our Friday night services. And that kind of then became what Young and Free was. we were, you know, just writing these youth group songs. We put out an album. You know, none of us kind of ever expected that it would go the way that it did. Like, all of us were doing different things. I was studying in university. Yeah. And that kind of just like really just changed like the trajectory of all of our lives very quickly. So that's how I ended up here all those years.
I mean, I remember when that Alive and Free, the Young and Free album came out. Mm-hmm. And it was like, it shook the ground of like worship leader world, because it was just so fresh and new and no one was doing stuff like that. Like, there was so synth driven. I'm talking about songs like Alive and then Sinking Deep. That whole album is incredible, but it really was on the front line of a new sound.
Mm. Yeah. And I can recognize that now for sure. For us, that was so much of that was honestly just like a need. Like, I remember when we started writing, one of the things, like a story that we always kind of tell is like, I remember our youth group services had finished. And like at the end of the night, you know how you always play, like play out, the night finishes and then, you know, like the music comes on in the room. And it was like, I can't remember what song it was. It might've been like Party in the USA or something like that just played while everyone's leaving.
Yeah.
But like, there's this energy with that type of music that the kids were just like gravitating towards. And that wasn't what I worshiped like at the time. And I remember a few of us were like, man, like we need to write songs that do this and get kids excited and get people wanting to like come to youth. And so that was kind of the motivation. Was like, let's write that they're here, like these young people are hearing everywhere else. Yeah. And so we didn't have any rules. We didn't know. Like, I think the lack of expectation on us to be anything other than just like a service to the young people made us write these songs that that we were unaware that they were so out there. Because even at the time as well, like, you know, there was people in our church at Hillsong that were like, you'd never sing, you can't sing this song in church. Like Alive, we had written a lot. And they were like, oh, we can't sing that on a Sunday though. Like, it sounds too clubby. Yeah. Like, can't do that.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah. And you know, then Brian Houston, you know, the senior pastor at Hillsong at the time, he was like, no, we should just try this. And I think there was that level of just like, let's just take risks. And I'm grateful that all happened, because for us, we didn't like, we didn't know any better. So I'm grateful.
It was so fresh. And for us at Loop Community, we were all about, like, at that time, everybody was in Reason making tracks for worship songs. And like, you guys released an album that was like perfect for people who were like geeking out in Reason making synth lines. And so like, it was just a huge moment, I think, in even Loop Community's world, because it's when churches really started to embracing track. They didn't have somebody to play that synth line live. Like, so they had to use a track to be able to do it.
Yeah.
So it was just huge, man. It was awesome. So how in the world, I think it's cool that you guys did that. I'm curious, how do you write songs for your church and then introduce those songs in your church without totally bombing worship? And what I mean by that is like, it's possible that like the song just is not great or people aren't familiar with it. And so you throw it into a worship set and it's just like, you know, you're doing all the hits. People love, people are all engaged and into it. And then you throw a song into a set that's brand new that you don't know if it's a great song or not, like, or if people are going to receive it, and it might like tank the worship vibe. How do you do that without like ruining worship is my question.
Yeah, that's a great question. I definitely can't say that we haven't done that. I think there was times for sure that we were bringing new songs that ruined the momentum of what was an amazing moment. But, you know, I think a lot of that comes down to like just kind of being embedded in the community. Like with Young and Free, like we were so a part of the youth group that there was a trust amongst us and the young people that allowed for those kinds of moments. And to be honest, like a lot of the songs that we were writing, none of us would deem a song to be finished until we had sung it at youth group. And that was like part of the, like getting, that was part of the process. Like we'd sing the song and then depending on how the response was that day, the song was either happening or it wasn't, or it needed to be tweaked. And so we use that kind of as our, like part of our writing process. Like we're going to try this on Friday. But you know, there was definitely moments where, like, I think the fear of ruining maybe a worship set or whatnot, I think is, can definitely be a roadblock to actually bringing new songs. And I think the one thing that our kind of church, which I think is a leadership thing down, was it, we were very open to like taking risks. And I think we were encouraged to like do things when they weren't ready. Like, I mean, I definitely was thrown into the deep end in our church world before I felt at all ready. And I think that was, that is definitely part of what made some of that stuff so special, is like, none of us were like any industry standard ready for to do what we did. And, but it's a good question. I think it comes down to a lot of it just being like really aware of the community you're a part of and like understanding the needs of, for us, the young people, that helps so much.
I think a lot of churches maybe don't introduce new songs because of that fear of like, well, it's just, we know we're going to do the hits, but you're right. Yeah. I think that you do have to have this culture of like embracing new songs, and a pastor too, who's like, hey, we're going to like try this, and it may not work, but that's okay. And, but just being open to that. So I'd love to talk to you about like your songwriting process. Like, do you, you know, co-writing obviously is like a very popular thing in the past decade or so. What about you though? Like, do you like co-writing? Do you write alone, with an instrument, without? What does songwriting look like for you?
It's changed a lot over the years. Like, I really do love co-writing. Like, co-writing's always been my go-to. Because I have fun with people. I'm so relational. I love my friends, and I'm lucky that a lot of people that I write with, I'm good friends with. And I've always found that, you know, the collaboration always brings the best out of each other, and also the song. Like, there's so many songs where, yes, I could have sat at home and maybe written it myself, but it definitely wouldn't be, it wouldn't have become what it did without someone else's input. You know, and you know, that, a lot of that as well is like, it takes a while to understand what your strengths are and what you bring as a songwriter. But I'm always like looking for, like, I'm always looking for someone else to just help bounce the ideas off, for sure. I think as a young person, I definitely didn't have the confidence to write a song by myself. I didn't trust my instincts enough. I think now I'm getting a little bit better, and there's a lot of songs in the last couple of years that I've written by myself, but that's been more out of just like me trying to hone in on the skill. But I would choose co-writing every time.
Yeah. And when you're writing alone, what typically comes first? Is it lyrics? Is it music? Are you writing on a piano or guitar? Like, what does that kind of look like?
It looks different every time. I would say it usually always starts with me with like chords and melody, which like helps to like, I guess, put me into a sort of a feeling, and which then often compels the lyrics. I've always found as well, my process has been like, I'll put my voice memo thing on my phone and I'll just play stuff and just sing whatever comes out. And my best practice has always been like, okay, I'll leave that and then I'll come and listen to it again a couple hours later or the next day. And often I'll find myself, like I'll find in the voice memo, like that I was saying stuff subconsciously that I didn't realize I was saying at the time. And like, that's happened a lot for me, especially on like this record that I've just made. Like, there's so many songs that started as these voice memos I went back and listened to, and I was like, oh wow, like I didn't realize I was saying pretty much most of the things I wanted to say without realizing that I did. So that's been my process, like throw paint at the wall, try to leave the editor out of the room, and then come back later
and refine it.
Yeah, exactly.
Is your phone just full of like voice memos that like you'd have to like go back and dig through? Like, how do you organize all of your song ideas? That's kind of just a practical question. Curious.
Yeah, no. Like, I mean, I'll look at it right now. It's very messy. Like, there's like, I'll make folders. Like, usually I'll take time on the plane. Like, if I'm on a plane or I'm traveling, I'll listen through and then categorize things or then label things. But it's no, it's a disaster.
Yeah, you're right. I know. And what got crazy too is when Apple like was whenever you create a new voice memo, like put it named it as the address of where you are.
I know. I hate that.
Yeah. So then you have like 100 voice memos with like your home address on it. And it's just like, okay, well, that's not very helpful.
I know. I wish they forced you to save a name.
Yeah. Right. Name it.
Yeah. Just name it. Once you press stop, it just gives you a little tab.
Totally.
But yeah, I often find that the ones that I, the songs that I end up pulling from my voice memos, I usually remember them before. Yeah. So it's like, I can go back, but yeah.
I love that with voice memos now on iPhone that you can actually continue recording onto a previous memo. So like when I'm working on a song, I like have one memo and then like a couple of days later, if I'm coming back to it with a new idea, I can just keep recording onto that same memo so that all the ideas are kind of tied together. But
right.
Last question about songwriting, then we're going to talk about your album. There's a lot of worship leaders here who are watching that just want to improve as a songwriter.
Yeah.
If you could like go back and tell like 10 years ago yourself some tips as a songwriter, is there anything that you'd be like, here's some tips of things that how to be a better songwriter?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think some of the stuff we talked about before, like I think if you're a worship leader who wants to write songs, I think it starts with understanding the community you're a part of. I think the songs, like if you're writing a song as a worship leader, like there are some like guidelines, I guess, like you want to write songs that are bridging the gap for people, leading them into a place where they can worship, giving them words that maybe feel representative of the community or the space that they're in. I've always found that really helps because a lot of the times, like, I mean, the content comes from what's happening inside your local group. But I also like, as I've gotten older, I actually find writing sometimes harder because when I was younger, I didn't know any of the rules. I didn't know what you could, what you shouldn't do and what you can't do. I didn't know, I didn't know the difference between why a chorus was great or why it wasn't. Like, and that definitely lets you kind of just, throw paint and experiment and take risks. And I think that if I could go back, well, if I could speak to a worship leader, I'd just say like, try to like know the rules, know what the boundaries are, know what you're trying to achieve. But then also just like, but don't let those things kind of fade away when you start writing. Cause that will bring the stuff that feels the most inspired. And I think having a clear vision for a song before you start is a really, really helpful way to not get yourself lost. Cause I think that's where you can become disheartened is when you don't really know the purpose of what you're writing for. You don't really know what it is you're writing about. I think having some of those things like a reference point where it's like, okay, I want to write a song, like a song one, like just kind of giving some of those kind of parameters, I think really, really help.
Yeah, that's a really good tip because it is so easy to get lost. If you don't start with a theme or anything, like, you can just get so lost. And then all of a sudden, like what you've written, like maybe it might be one song, but actually it's like three different songs that you probably should like take them apart and make three different songs from it.
Exactly. So, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Your new album, which is like a solo album, like your own thing. It's not like with Hillsong, right? It's just like Aidan King called Beyond Us just came out. We've got all the tracks and charts at Loop Community and CCLI. Tell us about this album and tell us everything you can about this album.
So it's my first solo record. I'm really excited. It's been like such a long time coming for me. Obviously I've been part of a group and so to go out on my own was definitely like a scary thing, but it was something that I felt like I needed to do because I had written for a youth context for the better part of, almost 15 years now. And so a lot of the way that I was writing was very much catered to that community. And so there's a lot of things that sometimes I wanted to say, or I wanted to do that I would withhold that because I was writing for young people and for a particular context. So this solo project gave me the opportunity to like actually sing about things that I've personally been going through, sing about my relationship with God on a personal level. But yeah, the record's called Beyond Us because I kind of just wanted this last couple of years has been an interesting time for everyone, obviously with COVID, but for us that even with Hillsong, like so many changes, there's been a lot of stuff that's gone on over the last 4 years and things have looked really different. And I moved country. And so this album was that, like, one of the things of these, like the theme of my life, I guess, over the last couple of years has been like, just like the thing that's given me so much peace in these really crazy uncertain times, has been like the idea that God's like, God's way is like just beyond anything that I could ever imagine. Like the, like, I think that can be for some people like a scary thought that like, you know, God is that like it, his ideas are bigger and better. And I think sometimes that can make us feel like, oh my gosh, like what is like, but for me, that's just given me this chance to like lean into trusting God. And so that's why I called the record Beyond Us, was just essentially for me, that's just been like the the thing that's given consistent peace over the last couple of years. And yeah, I on the journey of like writing this record, on my own, I think I realized as well in that process that for me, like I don't want to be doing stuff on my own, which is why I brought in so many like collaborators, like so many different singers, like that I wanted to give space to. And a lot of them are friends of mine that I've had for years who have really wanted to have like an outlet to like sing worship songs. And in a lot of ways, their career hasn't afforded them that. And so this album kind of became this, like, just this place. I'm like, okay, cool. Let's just make this a space where anyone can come and like, and worship. So that happened really kind of organically throughout the process. And it wasn't the intention from the start, but as I started making the record, it kind of came together that way.
Would you categorize this album as like, is it a worship album? Is it like singer-songwriter, devotional? Like what, how would you call these songs?
Yeah, I would say it's a combination of those three things. I had Ben Tan and Jason Ingram produced it, but throughout the whole process, Jason Ingram was very like kind of strict in a really good way, with like just making sure that it stayed like as a worship record. There's a lot of songs that maybe would have pulled the record in a different space, that were great songs, but we cut them in order to keep the record kind of just like a record that was a worship record. And, you know, a lot of the songs as well, like in my head, I imagine them being sung in churches. And that was, we tried to keep that as like pointed that way as possible. So, you know, I think it is a combination of all those three things. And I wanted to create something that was unique to me, but at the same time, like I love leading worship and that's where I've come from. It's what I want to continue to do. And so the songs, like, I didn't call the record like Beyond Me. I called it Beyond Us because I wanted it to be this like an album that was for people to actually like sing about God. Like it's for all of us, if that makes sense.
What do you think is the number one? And I know it's hard to pick like a number one when you have a lot of children you love. Yeah. What's like the number one congregational song on this album that you would love worship leaders to listen to and maybe implement at their church?
Jeez, yeah, it's a hard one. Well, you know, I feel like I really am so excited to sing a lot of these songs like live, and in a church context. I've done some of them. And a song like Thank You So Much Jesus, that song where I never imagined really that it would be sung in churches, but I've been singing that and that's been actually it's really surprised me. I didn't think that would be as congregational as it has been. But I think a song like Prepare the Way, which is the first song on the record, has like that. I feel like that's a great way to like start a service. And that was the way that when Jason and I were writing that song, we wanted to start the record that way, like to prepare the way like for God to come and meet us. And so that song for sure. And if there was one more, I'd probably say Whole World, which is kind of definitely a devotional song and a song that I feel like reflects a lot of the songs that I've written in the past. So
that's awesome. Are you currently involved at a church leading worship? Are you at the Hillsong in LA or are you at a different church? Or
no, I mean, I've been going to a church called Vintage Church, which is in Santa Monica, but I haven't been leading there. No, I've just been attending for the last year, which has been nice because I'm leading worship around at a few different places every now and then. But Vintage just been attending, but I'm sure at some point I'll lean into that.
Yeah, well, it's nice to take a break and just worship. I gotta say, I'm really excited for you and this album. I think the songs are amazing. It sounds amazing.
Thank you.
I'm sure working with Jason Ingram was really fun, and You've written so many songs, man, that have blessed worship leaders. I was actually looking on our website, typed your name in as a songwriter at all the songs that we have that you're behind, you know, as a co-writer on or a solo writer on. And it's just crazy. I was looking at these titles and I'm like, wow, so many churches are using these songs. You've just really made a huge impact, man. And I'm really excited for you too to just have this solo album as well.
Thank you so much. So
and you did a great job. It's excellent. I saw Sinking Deep on there, and I got to tell you this Sinking Deep story, and then we'll head off here.
Yeah.
I led worship at a Campus Crusade event. A Campus Crusade is like a college ministry in the United States.
Yeah.
And there were 3,000 college students in like a big ballroom in Indianapolis, and we were doing a live worship recording, and one of the songs in this live worship recording was Sinking Deep. And wow. And so anyways, while we're singing the song, if we start it, like it's really quiet, right? Like piano part, and we're singing.
Yeah.
Well, in the middle of that, and we're filming this, like video and audio, while we're filming, a ceiling tile in the middle of the ballroom just falls to the ground. And then another one falls and like is just like hanging like this in the middle of the room.
Oh my goodness.
And so that kind of caused a little bit of a disturbance. And I'm watching this as I'm singing Sinking Deep. I'm like watching this like chaos unfold in the middle of a room with like 3,000 college students. And then I'm thinking, okay, well, it's over. You know, let's just get back to worshiping because we never stopped the song. Okay. Literally as the, it's a quiet song, right?
Yeah.
10 minutes, like probably like 30 seconds later, all of a sudden I hear beep, beep, beep. And this guy drives in like a lift, like a, one of those like lifts that goes up to like fix stuff in the ceiling. Starts driving in through the middle of the crowd. Beep, beep, beep. And like the crowd is like parting ways while we're trying to do this worship recording. Beep, 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 beep. And then the guy stops in the middle and then he starts to like raise up in the middle of the room to go fix this ceiling tile. And I'm like, okay, do we really have to fix it right now? Like,
yeah.
So then we're at that point in the song when it's like, you're at the end of the chorus and it's like, oh, your love, and it's quiet, and then it goes into like the nur, like the start the build, and literally as we start getting into the build, nur, the guy's at the top of the ceiling and he grabs the ceiling tile, and when he pulls the ceiling tile down, the crowd erupts in like applause and clapping and like shouting. They're not shouting for like the worship; they're like shouting to like for this guy who got the ceiling tile. But on the recording, dude, it is so epic. It sounds amazing because like we hit the guitar part and you hear the whole room just go, yeah, and they're like clapping and screaming. And no one listening to the recording would ever know that the shouting is not like worship. It's people shouting for this guy getting a ceiling tile from the ceiling.
That is amazing.
I'll have to send you the recording so you can hear it because it is just funny.
I need to hear it. I need to hear that's so good. I want to see the video.
I know. You know what? We actually never ended up releasing the video for that one because there was, I think you could just tell on stage, we were all like, what is happening? Like, do we need to stop the song? Like,
going up.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, the crane thing kind of ruins the whole crowd shot.
Oh, that's so good. I love that.
Sorry. That was a very random story.
Great story. Great story.
But you're the one that, are you the one that sings that song on the album?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So
that was kind of one of my first songs I ever wrote.
Yeah.
That
is an epic song, man. So anyways, thank you, Aiden. It's so great to meet you. And thanks for joining us on this interview.
Too.
And hopefully we'll cross paths again soon. Thanks for sharing everything here.
I hope so. Thanks for everything that you do as well, by the way.
I love it. Absolutely, man. All right. Blessings.
See you, mate. Bye.
All right, guys, great interview with Aiden King. Make sure you go check out his album on Apple Music, Spotify, wherever you listen to music. It's called Beyond Us. Really great songs on there. We have all the tracks and charts at Loop Community. Go check them out and hit the subscribe button to stay tuned for future episodes. See you next time.